let's start there with the kickoff because it is in the piece, and I do like that idea for sure in theory. My only concern is, you know, dome stadiums and the advantage of not kicking with elements and wind would probably give an advantage. So I imagine that's probably the biggest reason why it isn't all that realistic.
Well, but I mean, we have dome stadiums now, and the lack of the elements affects other parts of the game as well. I mean, you could kind of, if that's the logic, I guess you could kind of make that point about anything. You know, I think I mentioned that it could be advantageous for the Denver Broncos because of the lack of altitude, you know, up in the Rocky Mountains there, and what they'd face. But that, you know, dealing with or without the elements, depending on where the game's played, is part of what makes football what it is. So I guess that's why I don't buy the idea of trying to write off an idea like this simply because of, you know, certain elemental factors that might play into something depending on where we're playing. That happens all the time.
Do you think then, Dom, that let's just say in theory, because I guess all this is theoretical, of course, but in theory, if they were to eliminate the kickoff entirely, what would really be the kicker's point on the team?
Well, I mean, and that's part of the issue because, what would they do? They'd be there for field goals, I guess, occasionally. They'd be there for the extra point, which now is a little more interesting because they backed it up. But beyond that, you wouldn't have, you know, I think there's a strategy to the kickoff in terms of whether, even under the rules that there are now, whether you kick short, whether you kick to a certain return man, whether you just try to blast it out of the end zone for a touchback, which can always be, which has, you know, become increasingly common in recent years. I think that you can save it in a way because it's always been a part of the game, but just make it more interesting. And that's one of the things that, the league has always been kind of adverse to doing. And one of the reasons I wrote what I did was just that I think, adding the scoring element to it, adding the possibility of even having, as I mentioned, like a Jimmy Graham type try to swat it away by goaltending it, that kind of thing would really add a level of excitement, particularly in late game situations, depending on the score, depending on the time remaining, and depending on where the game's being played.
Dom Cosentino's with us from the Score Sportsnet tonight here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. So overtime's always one that that people talk about, and it's a hot button issue, especially when it rears its head in playoff games. So what proposal do you have? Is it the conventional, well, you got to switch to college overtime, or are you looking at something different?
Well, I like the idea that Brian Burke of ESPN had several years ago, which was simply to give the home team the ball on its own 15-yard line. And he mentioned it after a touchback, but I think if we tweak the kickoff rules, I suggested, if I were commissioner, we could just simply eliminate the kickoff for the opening kickoff during overtime and simply have the home team take over at its own 15 and let them play, because that's kind of a the win probability for a team that takes over at its own 15 is even at that point. And then just let them play. No clock, just play the standard four downs and play till someone scores. And I think that would eliminate you having the, possibility of like a 7-overtime scenario like you have in a lot of college games where they're playing from the 25 and a 13-13 game suddenly ends 56-53. And also we wouldn't have the situations like we've had in the last 2 years, like the Patriots-Chiefs championship game in 2018 or the Vikings-Saints game this year, where the receiving team, after the coin flip, gets the ball and scores a touchdown and the other team never gets a chance to possess the ball. This way, I think, institutes some fairness, keeps it simple, and, eliminates a lot of this this stuff that can come up.
So Dom, then where do you, just sticking with overtime here, where do you stand on, because I know you mentioned just now the college football way for overtime, how do you think, or what do you think, I should say, of the CFL overtime rules?
I'm not familiar with the CFL overtime rules.
Okay, I'll read it to you real quick then, because I got a little description here. So in the CFL for overtime, teams, I guess, essentially play three quote-unquote mini-games, starting on the opposition's 35-yard line and the team to get possession second gets a chance to match. So if they don't get a TD, they're generally in field goal range. They can score that way. If they do get a touchdown, they have to attempt a two-point convert, and whichever team has more points in their quote-unquote mini game wins. And if they tie, they play up to two more in the regular season or until one game wins, which will be in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's not bad. You know, because I think it eliminates the idea that this could go on forever. You know, but I think that there's still an element where, you know, taking over the 35 can put certain teams in certain advantages, just because of, you know, like, you know, I don't know, actually, more than I think about this, I'm not going to try to BS my way out of it. You know, that's an interesting one too, but I guess I like the idea of just kind of letting them play football, you know, where there's a kind of an even opportunity for win probability from the beginning and letting them go from there a little bit better. But that, I do like that one a little bit better, the CFL one that you mentioned, because it at least eliminates that possibility of having a thing go to 6, 7, 8 overtimes and just playing forever and having a stats count, which can get ridiculous too, like they do in college.
So another one that I imagine, you know, people will be thinking about is pass interference and the replay review. And it was obviously a pretty much a disaster, and it seemed like nobody could figure out when to challenge or when anything was actually going to get reversed. So is there any tweak, or do you think it's just you got to scrap it?
I think you got to scrap it. I mean, you know, because it was put in there to be for clear and obvious offenses last year, clear and obvious infractions. But then when we saw clear and obvious infractions, they weren't overturning the calls. And so then it became, well, it depends on the, you know, how much of a high leverage situation it is late in the game. Well, who knows that? Like, you know, one high leverage, not every game is going to be the Saints Rams, you know, championship game and have that much riding on it. But how is a coach supposed to know that at the time? I just think that it was a well-intentioned but poorly conceived rule that really needs to be done away with. I mean, what happened in that Saints-Rams game was awful, and that, you know, and it determined who went to the Super Bowl. I get all that, but, like, there comes a time when you can't legislate your way out of bad calls. They happen in sports, and, you know, the NFL in particular, I mean, look what they did with the catch rule for, you know, 15 years or so. They finally, you know, went back to some common sense with it in recent years, but for a long time, nobody could figure out what a catch was because they were over-defining that, and I think this was sort of a logical extension of that mindset, and it probably needs to be done away with and scrapped.
If you could pick, then, Dom, one rule from the XFL that you would institute, I know in your piece you kind of referred to a number of them, and the XFL, I've seen some suggestions say that maybe it should be kind of maybe not so officially, but in a sense a testing ground for some of the rules that the NFL could look at and say, okay, maybe we want to implement a facet of this, let's put it that way. But I've always been interested from the XFL that the way they do the broadcast, especially this past year, we got to see the different ways they do the broadcast. And one thing that really caught my eye, I know we're talking about rule changes, but I just wanted to get your take on the broadcast as well, simply just because it was so different from what we had seen, getting players involved with the reporters right after they score a touchdown. Like, do you think fans would react positively to that?
I do. I just wonder, you know, the NFL is sort of weirdly, you know, coaches in particular are weirdly secretive about this or that. And I, you know, in the NFL, you know, for as entertaining a product as it can be, they have long kind of operated with the idea that there's a certain contempt for what fans think, you know, and they're just going to do things their way. I think it would be a lot of fun to have as much transparency as possible, you know, where you have, you know, players mic'd up and this and that, or interviewed right after a very exciting play, like right there on the field. That could be a lot of fun. But, you know, what happened last year? Sam Darnold was caught on camera making an offhanded comment about the Patriots defense, and it became a meme for a week or two, you know, at least here in New York. And so teams get very defensive about that kind of thing in the NFL. So I think it would be great, because I thought the Darnold thing was great. It was entertaining. It was fun. But, you know, teams are very self-conscious and defensive about that kind of stuff, and I don't know that it will ever fly in the NFL for that reason.
One thing that really caught my eye reading your article is that when it comes to marijuana testing, and I know the NFL and the PA have agreed to stop suspending players for positive tests and reducing the testing window to 2 weeks. Would you like to see it go further, remove testing altogether? Do you think that that's realistic at some point in the near future?
Well, I mean, now that they've come to this collective bargaining agreement, I you know, actually it's in the CBA, or it was part of the CBA, but they can bargain further. The drug policy has always been something that's a little bit separate. So, you know, I would like to see it done away with, but I think the league, for PR purposes, maybe has some reluctance to do that because, you know, in the U.S., you know, marijuana is still, for some reason, scheduled as a Schedule One, or identified as a Schedule One narcotic. So I think the league doesn't want to make it look like it's endorsing the use of marijuana, even though players use it, you know, to manage pain, for stress relief, you know, all sorts of legitimate reasons. And it really shouldn't be a big deal, but I think the league feels that way. So, you know, my suggestion would be, okay, keep the rule that we have just agreed to with the Players Association, but just, you know, don't punish anyone for it. Just kind of let it ride and kind of don't tell anyone about it. So that way, you know, both sides kind of get what they want out of the arrangement.
Dom, really enjoyed the chat tonight. Enjoyed the piece as well. Stay safe. Best to you in New York. I know things are tough there. Thoughts with everyone there, and hope to chat soon.
Appreciate that, guys. Thanks a lot, and same to you. Stay safe.